Today I'm talking about anisotropic transport in layered unsaturated sediments. And this work is relevant to heterogeneous subsurface deposits, like such are shown right here. And really we're talking about kind of layered unconsolidated sediments. This is from the DOE's Hanford Reservation. This is the 200 East area. And what you can see is that the heterogeneous deposits have large differences in grain and therefore pore sizes, differences in sedimentary structures and the arrangement of sedimentary layers, and also variations in mineralogy and geochemistry associated with that. And so the question for us is, what is flow like in deposits like this? And here you can see what looks like a pretty even wetting front right here at the top of this sample, but what you can see is that as you go down through the layers is that the water flow is actually quite heterogeneous. And so what you can see is that it's following very specific pathways and bypassing other areas. And what it seems to be doing, of course, is finding this layer right here. This is a fine-grained layer that's in between these two large kind of cross-bedded sands. And this is considerably more fine-grained than this here and also this stuff right here. And this type of phenomena is really what we're trying to interrogate, which is lateral flow mechanisms in layered unsaturated sediments. The other thing that you can see below that is the very uneven wetting front and features going on below this particular layer. So the question is, okay, how far and what happens along these layered flow interfaces like this, and how exactly do those interact with the layers below? And so our research questions were basically, what are the contributions of those individual layers to bulk hydraulic conductivity? And again, what are the contributions of the original layers to uranium transport? Because this is a DOE problem, we're concerned with radionuclides and in particular uranium. Also, how are reactive mineral faces spatially arranged? What is the interaction of competing hydrological, geochemical, and mineralogical processes in a large, multi-layered, and complex system? And finally, are the measurements of hydraulics and reactivity sufficient to predict contaminant transport in large heterogeneous systems? And finally, are current modeling strategies sufficient to upscale the basic constitutive relationships to the field? And so the objectives of our research basically were to quantify at the layer scale the hydraulic, geochemical, and mineralogical factors influencing uranium transport. Second, we want to apply a variety of modeling approaches in order to upscale those layer scale measurements to a complex system. And finally, use measurements within a complex system, that is one consisting of multiple layers, in order to validate our upscaling methods. And so an example of why this is important is basically shown right here. We have a case of alternating sand and silt layers. And here on the left, you have a moisture retention function. And you can see the red line is silt and the blue line is sand. A composite that's composed of the two of those, of course, is going to be intermediate between them. But what you find in natural systems, of course, is that there's a directionality to that. I'm sure you're all aware of this, which is that for sand units right here, again, that's the blue. This is hydraulic conductivity as a function of pressure head. And there is that of the sand, and here is that of the silt. And what you can see is that the composite vertical hydraulic conductivity is going to basically take that of the limiting flow path. So as water tends to desaturate in these systems, when flow is in the vertical direction, it's going to be limited by whichever layer is the least conductive. When flow is in the horizontal direction, flow is going to follow whichever flow path is the most conductive. And so there's a pretty simple modeling approach, which is sort of this composite medium approach. There's been a recent study by Carsten Prus in 2004 on this, but this is a pretty traditional approach. A lot of folks use this. And basically, horizontal conductivity is interpreted to upscale as a weighted arithmetic mean, whereas vertical conductivity is interpreted to upscale as the harmonic mean. And so we've done a variety of kind of simple simulations using this approach. And what you can see on the left over here, this is simulations using the actual parameters of the layered system. Over here on the right is the composite medium approach, where we're applying different averages to average what's going on between, say, this layer and this layer and this layer and this layer. So this is the composite approach, and this is the actual data, more or less. And what you can see, and this is done, this is a pretty small scale and a pretty short period of time. We're using about 2 centimeters of fine layers per 8 centimeters of coarse. That's pretty typical for a Hanford-type sediment in the semi-arid west. And what you can see is that basically the composite medium approach matches this quite well. Okay, so it looks like this works, but what's the problem with that? The averaging does adequately reproduce the layer scale flow and presumably the transport, although that's somewhat of an open question. What's the problem with that? This would predict transport times in a Hanford-like sediment on the time scale of hundreds of years. That's obviously not consistent with what we observe in the field. So that suggests that there are possibly some other issues. Maybe there's a difference between model assumptions and what's really going on in the reality. So we've done here a few possible explanations. One is basically there are large differences in hydraulic gradient that are determining this kind of disconnect. And our preliminary investigations suggest no. Maybe it's a transient condition within those layers versus an equilibrium condition. Or maybe it's that there's a finger flow phenomena that in which flow occurs in those coarse layers between the fines. Or perhaps it's a mass transfer issue between the coarse and fines. And so this suggests that it would be nice to validate the system using an experimental layered system. And so earlier this year, we went to the DOE's Hanford Reservation. This is in the 200 West area. And this is the Environmental Restoration Disposal Facility. And this is a large, basically it's a very large landfill. It is this is in 30, it's 70 feet deep, so, you know, it's about 25 meters deep or something like that. And what they do is they basically excavated a very large area within the Hanford subsurface, and they go back and refill with sediments reclaimed from the 100 areas. We were able to sample right over here in this corner where everything is still clean and is undisturbed. And so we had a multi-scale sampling strategy. We basically started with some very small core samples in a vertical transect. We collected samples in both the horizontal direction and in the vertical direction. From these samples, we're going to get the hydraulics of this system. And this is being discussed in more detail by Ed Perfect and Elmer Vandenberg. I think they're going to be at AGU this year, should you happen to be there. We also collected a transect of disturbed samples. And from that, we got particle size distribution and also batch samples for uranium KDs. And finally, we collected some large block samples. These are a meter long and a half meter high and about 0.3 meters deep. And here is what our sampling area looked like. You can't see it very well, I don't see here. But basically, there's a fine layer overlaying. And then there's this coarse layer below. And this is the side slope of that disposal facility. And when you get up close, what you see is that there are very distinct types of layers there. This top layer right here, which is fairly chaotic. This lower layer right here, you can see it's quite fine-grained, as evidenced by the darkness of color. And this lower layer right here, which is considerably much more coarse-grained. A closer look at those shows some more detailed features. In particular, this upper layer has a lot of very fine-grained inclusions in there. And these are kind of a fine sand, which is somewhat unusual. And right here in this lower layer right here, layer number 2, we tend to have more horizontally oriented beds. And again, you can see that it's considerably more wet than the upper layer or the lower layer, in which we have very, very fine-grained layering in this overall coarse-grained sediment. And so what we did is we took a pickaxe and we basically began to excavate the sides of this and to isolate a pedon. And as things got closer, you can see a lot of the features, these fine-grained layers right in here. And these are the things that are going to control flow and transport in this system. And a variety of other different features along here. And finally, here's what they look like about at completion. I did have to remove the rock so that we could get the sample back into the lab. But this shows basically how undisturbed these sediments were when we collected them. And so what we did at that point is we have this aluminum box that we set down over the top of that pedon, and we used an expandable foam and basically poured it in that annulus. And at that point, here's what it looks like basically to completion right there. And then we began to kind of level out the front because we have this push plate right here that it's attached, it does attach to this aluminum box by this track mechanism that you can't see very well. This is a pretty complicated bracing system and kind of track mechanism so that they attach together and so that this plate doesn't rotate with respect to the aluminum box. And so at the site we had some folks which were really truly expert forklift operators. They would come up with the monster forklift here and basically just get it here, and as long as everything was lined up, at one point I said, you have to stop. There, one of the forks is a half an inch closer than the other fork. And the guy just kind of looked at me and he says, okay. He backs up, gets it right there, and it's perfect. And so at that point, what you can see is that we're just able to push right through this sediment and cut off at the bottom, and then it's done. And so at that point, we lift it out and we took it out of the facility and loaded it into the back of a truck, and then these things arrived on my loading dock several days later. And so finally, I'm almost done. Let me just explain the experimental apparatus. We got delayed about 6 months on this project as far as getting out there for a lot of reasons. So instead of having results today, I kind of have what we're going to do with this stuff. But basically, the idea is to take that sediment and encase it into a system where we can do a couple geological and hydrological studies. And so the most important thing really is that we're able to control this by computer so that we have control over everything and we have good resolution of all of the data. And so we're going to add influent basically at the top. We have a system to control that. We're going to be controlling a suction at the lower boundary. And we have a system for purge and automatic collection of effluent samples, so everything will be automatically weighed and we'll know when it comes out. And something else to notice here in this picture, there's the mouth, there it is. Something else to notice is that this shows five different regions, and so the bottom is compartmentalized, so we'll have separate collection of things that come out on this side versus here versus over here. So we'll at least have some resolution of whether the flow goes on this side or whatever. And then the other thing, of course, is the monitoring inside of the block, because once you get down to the bottom, that's the end. But what we really want to know is what's happening inside. And so we're going to be monitoring for water content and collecting solution samples inside of the block during the experiment. And what we plan to do is a combination of both transient and steady state flow experiments using uranium and a variety of multiple non-reactive tracers in here. And this shows just a little bit of the blow up again of that lower boundary and the ceramics. There are basically five different ceramic plates that are going to control the flow and transport inside there. And so what we'd like to get out of this is to understand basically coupled hydrological, mineralogical, and geochemical processes in a partially saturated, heterogeneously layered system. And in the end, what we'd really like is to have some validated approaches for applying basically reactive transport parameters at the small scale to larger and more complex systems. And with that, I'd like to give just thanks to a lot of people, of course, who are not here, which is all the crew that helped us actually get these samples out there. They were very, very helpful, and also to our funding agency. And if anyone would have any more questions, my email is up there. Please feel free to contact me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.